This is Cicely Tyson. The Cahuenga Pass in Los Angeles is the main thoroughfare between Hollywood and the huge studios of Universal and Warner Brothers Columbia. I'm standing near a row of shabby storefront buildings, only one of which is decently kept up. It's painted a fresh, bright blue, and there's a sign on it reading, "The Richard Acting Workshop." Richard is standing outside the building, picking bits of trash off the sidewalk and stuffing them into a brown paper grocery bag. Every once in a while, he stops and glances up the street toward Hollywood. Richard is an attractive man in his mid-40s, very fastidious, and a bit nervous as well, I would think. He has a good reputation as a drama coach. Not so much among the film industry people. They know his name, although they're much too busy to ever stop at his workshop. Where his reputation is strong is among the young, struggling actors. To them, Richard's classes are an inspiration and a chance to explore their talent. Richard gives them the will to keep on, even when one film company after another turns them away. Oh, here he is. The person Richard has been looking for. That's Jerry Wainwright, Richard's assistant in his red pickup truck.
Hey, Jerry.
What?
I just got the break I've been waiting for. Paramount called. They want me to coach the star of their next picture.
And that's only the beginning of our story.
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. 5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week. Brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, Those Who Can, by Patricia Joyce. Our stars, Rick Jason, Linda K. Henning, Joan McCall, and Byron Kane.
As Jerry follows Richard into the acting studio, he thinks that it is about time that Richard got some recognition for all his hard work. Once, half-joking, Jerry had asked Richard what the purpose of life was. Richard replied, excellence. To be really excellent at one thing. In my case, that one thing is teaching acting. Jerry's in awe of Richard, but he's not sure he likes him. Nothing, even friendship, gets in the way of Richard's struggle for excellence. It's a trait that broke up his marriage. He was working late with an acting class and forgot to pick up his daughter after her ballet class. As a result, the child had walked home in the rain and come down with pneumonia. It was the last straw for Richard's wife, and she divorced him.
Well, who is it?
Huh?
The star.
Star?
The one you're coaching for the film.
Oh, right. I'm going to make some fairly good money for once. Maybe I'll have the office carpeted.
You can be very aggravating.
What did I do?
Sometimes when you're not teaching, your brain is fur-coated.
I know. I get on tangents. Were you asking me about the chairs?
The star. Who are you coaching for the film?
Oh, Ramona Russell. She a pretty good singer?
Oh, she's incredible.
That's what I heard.
She's got the voice of the century. She does disco, punk rock. She does a couple of ballads that can tear your heart out. So they're giving her an acting job, huh?
Right.
Will you stop moving those chairs around, Richard?
They're not straight.
You're a nervous wreck. I can feel it from here.
Well, it's a thankless role for me, isn't it? Everybody thinks she's such an incredible singer, they'll expect me to make her an equally good actress. If I fail, they'll blame me, not her.
Oh, you can do it.
Maybe.
Sure you can.
Maybe I've been kidding myself. Maybe my ideas about acting don't work.
They work.
I'll find out soon enough.
Richard, why are you doing that?
It has to be right. The studio has to be set up right.
Please don't move the chairs now. I'm going to be as buggy as you are.
I have to get a student to work with her, a girl.
Why?
Well, obviously, I can't bring her into class. It has to be private coaching. Now, you'll work with her, and I'll ask one of the girls.
What about fat, shy little Sally? She's very talented, but she's not enough of a beauty to make Ramona uncomfortable.
That matters?
Well, you know, you hear stories.
And?
Ramona Russell's stories are usually about her snubbing other attractive women.
Well, Sally, what do you think?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
Well, I don't think I can act opposite Ramona Russell. I mean, how can I listen to her on the radio and then come in here?
Just do what you do in class.
But Richard, there's something you don't know about me. See, I've had a couple of auditions, and what happens is it doesn't happen, you know?
No.
I clam up, my vocal cords get all weird, and I sound like an untuned violin. Hey, don't make me do it, please.
Well, of course I won't. I thought you'd want to.
Well, I'm honored.
Then do it.
I'm afraid.
Sally, that's silly. You're a fine actress, and this other lady has never acted in her life. She should be afraid, not you.
You really think I can do it?
Jerry and I had a long talk. We think you'd be perfect.
Oh, well, I guess I could try.
Then it's set.
I'll have to talk to the other girls at Scheherazade's palace and see if I can change my waitressing hours.
All right.
I'm sure I can change them.
Oh, I almost forgot. You'll be paid.
No.
It won't be much.
No, really, don't.
It won't be much.
No, honest, please don't pay me.
Now, look, your salary's in the budget. What am I supposed to do, keep your check?
No, just pretend I'm not there and don't give it to me.
Sally.
What?
It's time you got used to the idea that someone might want to pay you to act.
Oh, but you don't have to.
Hey, take it.
Okay. Sorry. One thing I still don't understand. I mean, with all the beautiful, talented actresses at the studio, why did you pick me? Will you look at this?
What?
Come on, you two, away from the window.
She can't see us, Richard.
She's got a baby blue Rolls and a chauffeur.
Boy, I bet I could live for 5 years easy on the money that car costs.
Really?
Hey, what is this, amateur night in Dixie? A little eye peering out through a hole in the curtain?
And those jeans she's wearing, they cost $83. I saw them in a window in Beverly Hills.
Now, just remember, she's not here to show off her nice things. She's here so that we can share something we've got with her.
What, overdue phone bills?
Artistry in our acting work.
Art. That and $83 will get us a pair of those jeans.
All the money in the world can't buy talent. Now settle down and act like pros. Come on, make me proud of you.
Okay, sorry.
Wonder what the devil is keeping her out there.
Well, don't look.
Oh, I have to go to the lady. Oh.
Go on, then.
I'll wait.
I'll get the door.
Richard?
No, I'm his assistant, Jerry Wainwright.
Nice to meet you, Jerry. Ramona Russell.
I know. I have all your albums.
Oh, that's sweet.
I'm Richard Sedley.
It's a pleasure. They speak so highly of you over at Paramount.
They do?
Oh, I wouldn't be here if they didn't.
This is Sally Miller. She and Jerry will be working on some scenes with you.
Oh, good.
Mommy, come on.
What?
I like your jacket.
Oh, thank you, Sally. How sweet. Listen, Richard, something really urgent has come up. I have a bowling date with a sheik. Can you believe it?
That's urgent?
Well, this particular sheik is putting up $1 million cash on my film, the one you're coaching me for. The publicist set up the meeting, and by the time he told me, it was too late to reach the sheik and cancel.
That's not a good way to start off.
Well, that's exactly what I told the publicist, but it won't happen again.
I should hope not.
I gave the publicist our schedule and told him to keep these hours clear.
Good.
Oh, I felt the least I could do was to come by in person and tell you what's going on.
Thank you, Ramona. Well, we'll see you Wednesday then?
You got it. I've got to get on with it. I'm really running fashionably late. Well, thanks for being so understanding. You're all really very sweet.
Goodbye.
Talk to you Wednesday then. Bye.
Bye. She's so thin.
Boy, what a woman. You can understand why somebody would want to make a woman like that a star. Huh, Richard? What do you think?
I think we've been had.
In the little apartment behind the acting workshop, Richard stands staring out at the hazy night. The digital clock reads 3:07 a.m. He wanders back to his kitchen and fixes himself another cup of chamomile tea. He is thinking about Ramona Russell. He always tells his students to act from their guts. Trust their guts. Now his guts are telling him that Ramona is trying to put something over on him. He has a tough job ahead if he's to help her, but at least he understands the problem now. He pads off to bed, leaving his chamomile tea untasted and forgotten in the kitchen.
Hi.
You're late.
I know. I'm so sorry. I got held up with the costumers. Oh, it was horrendous. I've been on tour since she fit me, and I've lost 6 pounds. Nothing fit right. I was sure you'd understand.
As far as I understand, the level of performance is a lot more important than what the performer is wearing.
Yes, I see your point. I'm so sorry. Let's start.
And this is the last time you'll come late or leave early.
Oh, of course. Now, tell me all about acting.
Well, there's only so much I can tell you. The best I can do as a teacher is to set up situations in which you can discover your acting ability for yourself.
Wonderful.
I base my work on one simple exercise. You and a partner, either Sally or Jerry, will play out different dialogue scenes. As you work, try to tune in on what your partner is feeling deep down, behind the words, and respond to that. Basically, acting is reacting.
Sit over here.
Yes. Jerry, sit opposite her and we'll read a scene. Now, of course, on the set, the process will be complicated with frame lines and hitting marks.
Oh, I know about all that. I've sung on TV dozens of times.
But the frills aren't as important as the basics. What matters is getting so wrapped up in him that you forget yourself, and then you'll find yourself responding in an honest and creative way.
Sounds terribly grand.
It's deceptively simple.
Shall I read the woman's part?
Whenever you're ready.
Hello, Sam. I haven't seen you for a long time.
I caught your act at the club tonight.
Was it any good?
I've heard you better.
Jealous.
Oh, you know better than that.
I don't need to listen to a two-bit flugelhorn player anymore.
You never did.
Same old cantankerous Sam.
Ramona, let me stop you.
What?
You're not working off Jerry. He's doing some lovely, subtle things.
Like what?
Oh, thanks a lot.
If you'd look at him, you'd see what I mean.
Oh, Richard, you take everything so seriously.
Now, we don't really have time to clown around.
We don't?
We have a lot of work to do, and I don't expect you to catch on right away.
Catch on?
Look, we'll take our time, but I need you to concentrate while you're here. Now, let's try it from the top.
Wait a minute.
Huh?
Nobody can put a song over better than I can.
Okay.
I don't need to catch on to anything.
Well, this should be easier for you since you're such a good singer, but I think there's...
No buts. I'm not here because I need to learn anything.
I think you need to learn a...
I'm here because the studio made me come. You're really very sweet, but to be honest, I think that reading these scenes is going to be a waste of time.
Well, you're wasting my time, Ramona. First, you were 40 minutes late. Now you're not even trying to do what I say.
Can't we be a little more professional than this?
That's what I'm asking you to be. Professional.
My performance will be fine.
I doubt it. Not unless you really work. You can take my word for it or wait until the reviews come out.
I'll wait until the reviews come out.
All right. But let's call it a night.
What?
That's all. We're done.
Am I being punished for my bad attitude?
I can't work with you unless you want to.
Fine. I'll go. Oh, Sally, toss me my jacket.
Sure.
Ramona?
He speaks. Be still, my beating heart.
We'll be here Friday. If you're on time, we'll get right down to work.
You shouldn't have done that, Richard.
Of course he should have. If any of us are late, we get kicked out of class. Why should Ramona Russell be any different? Well, at least it seems reasonable to expect her to be... on time, old brother.
She'll never be back.
It's just as well, then.
Well, that isn't very practical. There's a nice paycheck involved.
You and Sally will get your money.
But what about you?
I can't take money to lie.
Ramona Russell was in a dilemma. She didn't want to go to acting class and have Richard probe her personality and criticize her acting. Yet, she was even more frightened of public failure. She decided that acting class was the least painful alternative. She showed up on time Friday night. She did Richard's acting exercises and concentrated as hard as she could on Jerry and Sally. To her surprise, she found herself feeling little twinges of unexpected emotion. The feeling was familiar enough to Verona. It was like the excitement she had when she sang well for a live audience. A paradoxical sensation of complete recklessness and complete control. With each lesson, Richard encouraged her to let herself go more and more. Ramona decided that she trusted him, so she tried to do what he said. Then one day, while she was reading a scene with Sally...
When I led tours, I used to get off the bus, and I could just hear what people were saying about me. You know, there's a run in her nylons. She has to change her hairstyle. It's a shame a girl her age isn't married.
I used to do that with money. He only said he likes my dress because he knows I'm rich.
That's probably why I like you. You know what it's like to feel hurt.
I think everybody does.
Yeah.
Now, at the end of every day, I have to forgive myself for all the awful things I've done.
That would be hard.
It was even harder when I found out that I also had to forgive myself for all the beautiful things I'd done.
Richard, I have to stop.
You're doing fine. Why did you stop?
Oh, I felt so ugly.
Just pick up where you were.
No.
Just right where you were.
No, come on. I look ugly. I don't want to.
Okay. You sure?
I don't want to act like a kid, you know?
Ramona, don't be ashamed of letting yourself be human. Let yourself give in to your deeper feelings.
Why bother?
Sometimes you learn things about yourself. Feelings you never let yourself be free enough to experience.
You sound like my therapist. Except she has the requisite Viennese accent and a lot of unnecessary facial hair.
Okay. We'll work on a scene with Jerry now. But your emotion was a really honest and interesting impulse. Don't be afraid to follow through if it happens again.
Yeah. You're very sweet, but I did hear you say that the first time. No need to do it up as a refrain.
Ramona!
What?
I just wanted to tell you something.
Oh?
Before, when we were doing the scene and you wanted to cry?
Yeah.
Well, you said you were worried about looking ugly.
I did?
Well, you said it a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't look ugly at all. You looked really beautiful. I never saw your face look so soft or vulnerable. I thought you looked really good.
Good?
Beautiful. From inside. When you cry,
Is that it?
Yeah, I guess. You don't believe me?
No, I don't. I have to go.
Right. Sorry.
Good night.
Good night. Why don't I ever say the right thing?
Okay, Tom, if that's the way it is.
I guess I'll see you when I pick up the kids.
Right.
Call if you ever want to talk.
I will. Don't worry.
All right. Thank you. Well, Ramona?
What?
How did that feel?
Okay.
Just okay?
No, it felt pretty good.
Go on.
I really forgot myself there for a minute.
Yes, I thought you did, too. I felt like you'd left Ramona, the singing star, behind and really put yourself into the place of that lonely, divorced woman.
It's strange.
Of course it's strange. You know, you've worked very hard to build up your singing star persona. It's hard to let go of that. But you are not that persona. There's much more to you than that, isn't there?
Yes, but no one's supposed to know that.
Oh, I don't mean that you should blather your secret life all over the screen, but just remember that the deeper person is who you really are, and that's the person you act from.
I understand that now.
Didn't you see a change, Sally?
Oh, yeah. She's being real simple and honest.
I agree. Definitely. Simple and honest with a lot of depth.
That's sweet.
If you act in the film like you acted in that scene, you can get an Oscar nomination.
Oh, come on.
You will?
You're just saying that.
You know I've been honest with you.
You really think I'll get an Academy Award?
A nomination. I think you'll get a nomination for sure. No one can really predict who will get the Oscar.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. That'd really show them over at Paramount, wouldn't it?
Yes, it sure would.
Ramona, I just want to tell you it's been so exciting working with a talented woman like you.
That's sweet. It's meant a lot to me working with all of you. You've all earned a special place in my heart. Even you, Sally.
Oh, thanks.
I think I'm speaking for all of us when I wish you the best of luck on the set tomorrow.
Oh, thanks, Jerry. Thanks, all of you.
You're welcome. Sorry. I mean, you're welcome, but I didn't mean to speak out of turn.
Listen, what do you say we knock off now since things are going so well?
Well, I...
I brought a magnum of champagne to celebrate the end of our lessons. We could drink it now.
Okay. I think that would be fine.
Jerry, want to help me get it out of the car?
Sure.
Richard, are you okay?
Fine.
You look upset.
I just realized it's over. I mean, we did it. We made her into an actress.
Yeah, I guess.
The rest is up to her now. Hello. Is Ramona Russell there? Richard Sedley. Uh-huh. Yeah, well, I'm calling to congratulate her on her Oscar nomination. I sent her some roses. Did she get them, do you know? Okay. Oh, she can reach me at my studio. 555-4261. Thank you. Bye. She's out.
She'll get back to you.
She didn't when I called before.
Maybe she lost the number.
I left it three times.
Well, what difference does it make?
You'd think she'd return my call. Even if she had her secretary get back to me.
You still want to watch her on that talk show?
Of course. Is it time?
Yeah.
And then my daddy said, are you going to let a little thing like...
That's her. She's already on. We missed the...
thing standing the way. And I said, no, sir. And I sang the Lord's Prayer in front of the whole congregation. And that's when you decided to become a singer?
Oh, she looks great.
Like the day she first came to the workshop, all glittery perfect. She was a different kind of animal from the rest of us.
Not different, just more expensive.
Well, that was when I admitted it in public. A secret fantasy. But I know now they can come true. Would you describe yourself as an overachiever? I don't like that expression, overachiever. Because it suggests that I wasn't meant to achieve much and did over what I should have been capable of doing. Oh, I see. But I will say this. I read in a magazine that ministers' children, like myself, tend to accomplish more than children from any other professional group. Isn't that interesting? Ramona, we all knew you were a great singer, but I think we were all pleasantly surprised to see what a fine actress you are.
Here it comes.
Thank you. How did you learn? I didn't. How's that? I'm what they call a natural actress. I've never had an acting lesson in my life.
What'd you say?
Weren't you nervous about doing a major role with no training? Not in the least. Well, I would be. Well, I think that I believe in doing things from my gut. Being simple and honest.
I can't listen to this.
I decided to act in the film like I do in real life, and it seems...
Can you believe her?
That's just the problem. I can.
Tyson again, and here's the fourth act of Those Who Can.
When the studio called and asked me to coach Ramona Russell, I couldn't believe it was happening. Half the time, I tried to shut it off, pretend that it wasn't going on.
I know. You've been real strange about it all along. But the thing is, you did it. And now that witch is trying to deny you.
You don't understand. I've been seeing this job as not existing in my mind. So naturally, the thoughts that I manifest so strongly materialize in the real world.
Oh, what is this garbage?
I never visualized myself as the successful coach of Ramona Russell, so...
I don't want to hear this metaphysical jargon. Call up that TV station and tell them who you are.
I'm nobody.
I don't understand you. I really don't. One minute, you're willing to sacrifice a nice fat paycheck because Ramona Russell won't listen to you. But then when she turns around and insults you...
She didn't insult me.
She pretends you don't exist on national TV yet. Isn't that an insult? Call that station and tell them the truth.
It won't do any good. Those shows are all pre-taped. Besides, Ramona would just deny it.
Then sue her. Oh, don't just sit there grinning like a happy martyr.
Don't you see the justice of what she's done to me?
I'll tell you what I see. I see somebody who has such a huge, overblown ego that one insult can totally deflate him.
Huh?
You know, I really feel like a sucker. All this time, I've been envying you because I thought you'd found something that really mattered. I thought you put your friends and family second because you loved the art of teaching and you loved your students. And now I see that you're only an arrogant, selfish guy who teaches because he wants to be praised as the great philosopher teacher.
I suppose I've never been content with what I am.
Well, how could you be? Look at you. One insult and you're wallowing in self-pity. It's all self with you, Richard. Self-pity. Self-congratulatory. Self-deprecating. Self-impressed. Selfish.
Sally, you're pretty early, aren't you?
I wanted to talk to Richard.
Well, he's not feeling well. He's resting up so that he can teach your class.
Was he upset about Ramona?
Yeah.
I knew it.
I guess I kind of blew my stack at him, too, and that didn't help.
Why'd you do that?
I don't know. I thought of lots of reasons. Being mad at Ramona, being jealous of Richard.
What'd you say to him?
Oh, awful stuff. I don't want to talk about it.
He's mad at you?
No, he said I was right to say it.
Is he in his apartment?
Yeah. He doesn't feel well, Sally.
Richard?
I'm here.
Well, why don't you turn on a light?
It's quieter in the dark.
Can you light a candle or something so we can talk?
Okay.
I just wanted to tell you that it's not you. It's Ramona.
Mm-hmm.
See, I came to this realization about her because I'd been feeling bad. I mean, ever since she started to work with us, I thought she didn't like me. And, I thought there was something wrong with me. Well, about a month ago, she came into Scheherazade's palace. You know, that dive where I work. And she sat down at one of my tables. I was real excited because I've been telling the girls how I knew her, and I was all set to show off. So I went up to her, and she pretended she didn't know me. At first, I thought it was the Scheherazade costume, because with that and the makeup, I look a lot more zoftic than I do in sweatshirt and jeans. So I said, Sally from Richard Sedley's, remember? Nothing. I mean, I felt pretty terrible, needless to say. Then, last night when I saw her do pretty much the same thing to you, I thought, it's not me. It's not Richard. It's her. There's something wrong with her.
I don't know what to think about it.
She's a bad person. I mean, I know that sounds too simplistic, but really, I mean, what would it have cost her to say a good word about you? Not one damn thing. I mean, not one.
Maybe there's more involved than you can perceive right now.
Well, that's true of everything, but still, I think...
I want to rest before your class, Sally.
Okay.
Would you mind closing the door all the way when you go?
Yeah, right.
Allie?
Jerry? Oh.
Hey, I almost don't know you in that outfit.
Quit looking. Please. It's bad enough when creepy customers look at me, but, friends, that's really...
Oh, no, you look pretty spiffy.
I should have asked you to meet me after work, not while I'm still on the floor.
It's all right, I'll wait.
Oh, what the heck. I have a single man who keeps pinching me, and a couple who keep pinching each other. I think they can take care of themselves for a while. Oh, I wanted to talk to you about Richard.
What about him?
He's been real weird lately. I mean, he's a pretty weird person anyway. In a nice way, that is. But since Ramona was mean to him, he's been weirder.
Yeah, I know.
I thought maybe you could talk to him.
Oh, come on, Sally.
Why not?
I told you. I kicked him when he was down about this thing with Ramona.
Well, but you still work for him.
Yeah, that's what's so bizarre. Usually, Richard wouldn't take that kind of sass from anyone. He wouldn't even have taken it personally. He would have said something like, "This person's attitude will prevent me from teaching accurately." And bango, I'd be fired.
That sounds like Richard.
But after this stunt Ramona pulled, he's been different.
Well, why don't you apologize to him and try to straighten out everything?
I did. I said I was sorry. He said, "Fine." I feel like this whole thing is my fault.
Oh, that's silly.
But I always wanted to see Richard like this. Weak and apologetic, not totally wrapped up in his teaching, and whether he was reaching somebody or not. You know, it's like secretly wishing somebody would die, and then they die, and you feel guilty.
Oh, Brother Jerry.
What?
We just can't let Richard go.
What do you mean?
Well, we can't just let him be an ordinary person who doesn't care.
Well, maybe it's time he admitted that that's all he is.
Oh, Jerry, that's terrible.
It's the truth.
It is not. I won't accept that. There's got to be more to my life than Scheherazade's palace. Richard was showing me those extra things.
Your guy's calling you.
What?
That man sitting by himself wants another drink.
That's not all he wants.
So what are you all worked up about?
Class!
I told you, you were fine.
I heard you.
But you didn't feel fine, right?
Your sarcasm's terrible.
Sorry.
You know, I'm really tired of you moping. I'm tired of you not caring about us anymore.
I care.
You care about what creepy Ramona thinks, that's all. Just because I'm a waitress doesn't mean I'm not a human being. I mean, my feelings should count for something, too.
They do, Sally.
No, they don't!
Come on.
Well, they don't. I mean, I love class, but that doesn't mean beans to you.
No, that matters.
You letting everything slide just because Ramona let you down.
I know.
Look, I know how you feel. I mean, look at me. You're not looking at me, Richard.
I see you.
I'm a mirror for you. We're both people who are afraid to put themselves on the line, you know? Only... it's easier to see with me because I hide under baggy clothes and an extra layer of fat. But we're both afraid to get what we deserve.
I don't know that I deserve anything.
How can you say you don't deserve anything?
It's what I feel.
But I don't think you have the right.
Oh, I don't?
But because you're not denying a bad habit or some personal idiosyncrasy. You're denying that wonderful spark of creativity that you have, that you passed on to me and some of the other kids in class, and even to Ramona.
Well, obviously Ramona
doesn't... Ramona doesn't matter!
Tell Paramount Studios that.
What matters about Ramona is the spark of life that you opened up in her. You must know that. Well, she must too, no matter what she says.
Maybe.
You know, I remember... I asked you about a book you were reading, and you said it was a book about creative consciousness. And you said your goal for us as actors was that we would lose our sense of self and become a part of the creative energy that was in all things, remember?
Well, I get a little pretentious.
But I feel like I'm part of that energy when I'm acting in your class. I know that some people say there's no such thing as that. I mean, a creative energy, but if you felt it like we have, you can't deny it, can you? Oh, well, I suppose you can, but you know what I mean.
Yes, I do.
I was saying this to Jerry. I said that if you give up the idea that there's more in life than just dull routines, well, how will we find anything special to live for?
Oh, I see. That's why Jerry was angry, too.
What?
I just understood something.
I mean, maybe I should try to lose weight and get an agent and get an Oscar nomination. I mean, well, it wouldn't happen just like that, but maybe if I became important and told everyone how much you'd help me...
I needed to hear that.
That I'll lose weight?
That, too. But mostly that my teaching reaches you.
Oh.
Now, I try to pretend that I can stand alone, trust my instincts to tell me that I'm good, that I don't need praise or encouragement.
But everybody does.
Maybe. Maybe. All I know is I need to hear that. I work so hard, and sometimes I just have to...
Well, you have to be appreciated, right?
Right. This is Richard Sedley, 2 years after the story you've just heard. Paramount and the other studios have continued to send me singers, athletes, models, people whom they felt might draw box office crowds once they had some acting training. I've done my best with all of them. I hope I've been honest about my successes and failures. I've gotten the praise Ramona denied me. I've made a lot of money, bought a new studio. In short, I have all the ornaments of success that I longed for. But mostly, I know that my real successes are the people who have opened up under my teaching. People like my current teaching assistant, Sally Miller. The other day I said, "Remember when we used to call you fat, shy little Sally?" She laughed and said, "I most certainly do not." I blushed. It was hard to imagine that the timid girl who first came to me for acting lessons had grown into this confident, athletic young woman. But the truth was that she had, and I was proud of her. And proud of myself.
Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you 5 nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, Those Who Can, was written by Patricia Joyce and produced and directed by Elliot Lewis. Your hostess was Cicely Tyson. Our stars were Rick Jason, Linda K. Henning, Joan McCall, and Byron King. The Mutual Radio Theater theme was composed by Nelson Riddle. John Harlan speaking. The Elliot Lewis production of Mutual Radio Theater is a presentation of CVI.
Mutual Radio Theater has been brought to you by Sears, a name that means quality and value. A name that you can count on for service and dependability. Sears, where America shops for value.
This is Leonard Nimoy. Listen to us tomorrow. I've got another story of adventure about men and women defying the odds. Listen here, tomorrow.